Look with me again here in Romans 5. And my subject this morning is grace that transforms, or transforming grace. Transforming grace. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by Christ, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, grace, oh, what a wonderful word. What a blessed, blessed word. What a wonderful word. When you think about grace and you talk about grace, grace is what brings salvation to a soul. And when it brings salvation to a soul, it transforms that soul. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and hath delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom, translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now that means that God did it all. God did it all. That's why we give thanks to Him. Now if we did it, then we have to give thanks partly to ourselves. But grace also, the grace of God that brings salvation. Grace brings it. It hath appeared to all men. Hath appeared. And when grace appears, and oh my, what it brings when it appears. If it ever brings salvation to you, it'll change you like you didn't. It will change you like you've never been changed before in your life. I mean, it really changes you. And that's what I'm talking about. It transforms a person's character. You know, the character of God's elect have a different character than those of the world. We're called the elect of God, beloved of God. We live by grace. We think of grace. We react to grace. Our character has changed. If what you were in darkness, now you're in light. You were in sin, now you're in righteousness. You were dead, and now you're alive. Now, does that don't change your character? You were born again. A new person come into existence when God saved you. A new character, a new person. And not only does it transform a person's character, but it transforms all their relationships. It transforms your relationships with your natural family. It transforms your relationship to the world. It transforms your relationship to different people, the people that you used to run around with. You don't run around with them anymore. It changes your relationships. Oh, how it changes your relationships. Your relationships with your spiritual brethren is closer than the relationship you have with your own family. You know, you can spend time with your own family and you can go through the conversation in about half a day. And they're ready for you to go, and you're ready to go. They're just as ready for you to go as you are to go. Ain't that right? And the scriptures are plain, and they're clear, and they're emphatic about us, God's people, being new creatures, new creation. We're made, created in righteousness and true holiness. And plain and clear about us being partakers of the divine nature. And it also teaches us, and is plain, that we cease to be our own. We're not our own anymore. Why not? Christ bought us with His own precious blood. We was bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Christ. When we sung that song, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That means, beloved, everything we need we have in Christ. And He bought us. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. When I joined the Marine Corps back in 1967, they let me know right then and there they owned me lock, stock, and barrel. I got off the bus, walked in that building, and I'm telling you what, you never heard such screaming and hollering and carrying them. They let me know that I was going to do what they told me to do, and if I didn't do it, I'd regret it the rest of my life. And no, listen, that's what you, if the world does you that way, imagine what it is. And here's the thing about it, we're delighted to be His. We love to be owned by Him. We're so grateful that He bought us with His price. Lord, here I am. Thank you that you bought me. Huh? But I want to look at this statement here in verse 2. Verse 2 of here. It says, by whom also we have access by faith. Now listen to this. Into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in grace. Our standing is in grace. And I want to look at how this grace and our standing in grace transforms our relationships and changes our relationships. The first relationship that it changes us to is our relationship with God. You look what it says there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God. Now, where's our justification at? Our justification's there in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So we believe that Christ died for our sins, raised again to justify us in God's sight. So then by faith, we believe that. We believe that we are justified by what Christ did. And because of what He did, we now have, we have peace with God. Now, what does this business mean, having peace with God? Well, that means we're no longer enemies. We're no longer, there was a time we were enemies of God. We were enemies in our minds by wicked works. Our carnal mind was enmity against God. And beloved, and I tell you what, the only people that know that they were enemies of God and had enmity in their mind is people that's been made peace with God. That Christ made peace with God. People say, I never did feel bad about God. Well, then you don't know Him. God ever confronts you, listen, the very fact that you don't even think about Him and not consider Him shows you that you got enmity in your mind. The fact that you don't come to Christ and you don't bow to Christ and you don't receive Christ and you don't rejoice in His blood and His righteousness shows that your mind's in enmity against God. I've got enough for myself is what people are thinking. But oh no, we're no longer under the wrath of God. Thank God we're no longer under the wrath of God. I remember years and years and years ago, I was a very young man. And I was sitting, and I saw this business about peace with God. And I realized that God was no longer mad at me. God wasn't even angry with me anymore. This is one thing that religion always tries to do, is try to get you to make peace with God by doing something. And then when I found out that because of what Christ did, God wasn't mad at me anymore, I can't tell you what happened to me that day. I sat in a chair and I jumped up, sitting in my living room, jumped up. I couldn't get over it. God's not mad at me anymore. I don't have to try to appease Him. He's been appeased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Huh? And now we're no longer strangers. There was one time we were strangers. Strangers to God. God was strange to us, but we're no longer strangers, but we're sons of God. Sons. Oh, bless His holy name. And I tell you what, we didn't make people preach yourself down, make your peace with God. But we didn't make peace with God. Who made peace with God? The Lord Jesus Christ made this peace through the blood of His blessed cross. I tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ, when He faced God, when He was under the wrath of God and He was under the judgment of God, He stood in our room instead, and all the wrath of God that was against us was taken out of the way. And he slew that enmity. He came and slew that enmity that was in our mind. He came and slew our carnal enmity and the wickedness of our mind. And he reconciled us to God. And I tell you what, I have peace with God because, what does it say? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. So our relationship's been transformed with God. Has your relationship been transformed with God? What do you think of God? How do you consider God? What's God to you? What? Let me ask you this. What would justify God accepting you and allowing you to have access into His presence? You want to say, well, listen, I need to do this. What would justify God? What would clear God if He said, listen, I'll let you into my presence and there'll be peace? What would cause God to do that and let you have peace with Him? I know. And it changes our relationship with God, and also it changes our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down here in Romans 5:12. Oh, my. The scripture says here, wherefore as by one man, that one man was Adam, sin entered into this world. And death by that one sin. And so death passed upon all men, for in that person they all sinned. That all sinned in Adam. Oh my. Now that's where we were. Now look down here in verse 19. And this is where we are. That's where we were. Dead. Sinned. Born in sin. Conceived in sin. For as, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now I know over there it said all. You know why I said many down there in verse 19? Because all over there, that many that he's talking about, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one for whom He died. It said all sinned. But Christ didn't die for all. He died for the many that He was given to Him. And that's why many were made righteous. Not all men are made righteous, but by His obedience, many are. Huh? And look what it says back here. And look up here. I'll tell you what. Look in verse 6. It changed our relationship with Christ. We stood in Adam. We stood as sinners. And look what it says there. For when we were yet without strength. Oh my. Dead men ain't got no strength. Listen, I'll tell you right now, as a believer, and I've been pastoring this little congregation now for 40 years. And you know how much strength I got now after 40 years? Still ain't got none. Where do you get it at? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what this. For when we were yet without strength, when we didn't have any ability, when we could not come to God, when we didn't have no strength, to pray, to come, to believe. What happened? Christ died for the ungodly. You say, I ain't ungodly. You know what it means to be ungodly? Just to be without God. But now we are in God. And then look down here in verse 8. Not only were we without strength, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Not only were we without strength, we were sinners. 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 Oh. The more old Scott used to say, the more you can convince me of my sin, the more you show me my help and hope in Christ. Ain't that right? And while we were yet sinners, we were without strength, we were sinners. But look what happened. Christ died for the ungodly when then we were yet without strength. Christ died for us. Huh? Both times it says Christ died for us. When we were yet without strength and while we were yet sinners. His blood justified us and His blood cleansed us. Look what it says down here in verse 9. Much more than being now justified. You see, is raised for our justification, justified by His blood. What do you mean justified by His blood? By His death. That's what it means. His blood justified us and cleansed us. And look what it says, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You see, His death is what reconciled us to God. Talked about us being enemies. There was this great distance between us and God. Oh, what a distance. Great gulf was fixed. Well, how in the world is this man over here that's an enemy of God and God who's an enemy of man? How are they going to be reconciled? How am I without strength? How am I as a sinner? How are you without strength? And how are you as a sinner going to be reconciled to God who is holy and righteous and just? How are you going to be reconciled? How are they going to be brought together? Well, we can't reconcile ourselves to Him. There's nothing we can do save, listen, I'm going to make friends with God. I'm going to go up to God and I'm going to make friends with Him. No, no. We're the ones that was wrong. God's always right. So how in the world are we going to be reconciled to Him? Brought back together. Much more, being justified by His blood, we shall be reconciled through His life. Christ died, and we slew that enmity, and He brought us to God, and brought God to us, and brought us together. Now, God's not mad at us, and we're not... We're in fact, we're one. Oh, you know, whenever you're out of pocket with somebody, or you feel like somebody's out of pocket with you, don't you worry about, well, what can I do to get this thing right? I need to get this thing right. I need to make amends. I need to say I'm sorry. I need to get back in fellowship with this person. And listen, if you worry about your earthly relationships like that when you get out of pocket, you imagine how hard it is, you know, what it is for us to be reconciled to God. Oh, God had to come where we were. And God had to make Himself known to us and slay that enmity and bring us to Him. Well, how did He do that? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only that, He reconciled us to God. But His righteousness is imputed to us. His righteousness is our righteousness. Look what it said here in verse... Back up here in Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Look what it says there in Romans 4:21. Now, God spoke to Abraham. And he believed God, fully persuaded he believed God. And so therefore, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised him a Messiah, promised him a righteousness, promised him salvation, was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed or reckoned to his account for righteousness. Now listen to this now. God said, Abraham, you're a righteous man. Now watch what he says. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. God didn't write this just for Abraham, so Abraham would know it, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Us, to whom it shall be imputed. Now, listen to this. Abraham believed God. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. I believe that Christ was raised from the dead, that God raised Him from the dead. Don't you? Yeah. And here's the reason why we were justified, who was delivered for our sins, and God raised Him up to justify us. And oh my, bless his holy name. We have the righteousness of Christ. And oh, I tell you what, then it says there in verse 2 here of Romans 5, by whom also we have access. You know how you get access to God? Access into the presence of God? Through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our standing is in Him and Him alone. We cannot stress this stuff. We just cannot deal with this stuff enough. Huh? What we do believe, we believe God's record. This is God's record concerning His Son. You ever been to the courthouse to look up records? We had that wedding last week, and they record that marriage. They record it. You got to go to the courthouse and record it. You sign the papers, and you get somebody to witness to it. You tell them who you are, when did all this happen, and you take it to the courthouse, and they record it. 25 years from now, 50 years from now, you can go to the courthouse and say, so-and-so got married at such and such a day by such and such a person at such and such a time at such and such a place. Well, God gave us a record. And we can go to His blessed book and find out what He says about His Son. And everything He says about His Son, we believe it.
Right.
Huh? If we believe that God said that there's no way to us to get to Him but by the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that He said He's His righteousness, and we believe that. We believe that He did it all. All to Him we owe. Oh, we're joined to Christ. We're in union with Christ. I believe everything God said about His blessed Son. Oh, so our relationship's been changed with God. Our relationship's been changed with our Lord Jesus Christ. Transformed. And then look to the Holy Spirit. He went also, our relationship to the Holy Spirit's been transformed. Look what it says here, back up here in verse 5 of Romans 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know why we love God? Because He first loved us. How do we know He loved us? He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit come into our hearts, and He revealed the love of God and the love of Christ to us, and He filled our hearts and made that love of God just spread abroad in our hearts, and it makes us spread abroad, and we hear the gospel, and it makes our hearts just rejoice.
Hallelujah.
He just fills it up, and it spreads it abroad. It spreads so far that it loves all the Lord's people. It loves the gospel. It loves the Lord's word. Oh my. And you know our Lord Jesus promised us. He says, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away. But I'm not going to leave you without any comfort. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And He's going to come to you. And you not see me anymore in this world. But you shall see me. Well, how are we going to see Him? By the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our hearts by the love of God. We found out that there was never a time that God didn't love us. He shed that abroad in our hearts. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He shed that abroad in our hearts. He said, God commended His love toward us, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He spread that abroad in our hearts. He was given unto us. He was promised to us. He's the one that teaches us. You know why we learn anything today? Because of the Holy Spirit. Not because of the preacher. No. If you learn anything, the Holy Spirit's the one teaches you. I know He uses men. I know that. I understand that. But yet, that's why we pray, Lord, this gospel's in your hands. This word is in your hands. And oh my. And he was sent to guide us, to comfort us. And oh my, bless his holy name. He shed abroad his electing love in our hearts. And you know something else about the Holy Spirit? Not only is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, but he's the one that lets us know we're children of God. Look over here in Romans 8:16. You know how we know we're God's child? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit this morning is bearing witness to you, bearing witness to your heart, bearing witness to your soul, bearing witness to your spirit. I'm a child of God. I believe what I'm hearing. The Spirit bears witness to that. And you say, yes, I'm a child of God. How do you know? The Spirit tells you. Preachers have got to all, you know, if a preacher gets you saved, he's got to keep you saved. If a church saves you, then the church got to keep you saved. If the mourner's bench got you saved, then you got to keep coming to the mourner bench to stay saved. But if God saves you, then you're saved forever. He begun a good work and he'll finish that work. Huh? Oh, and I tell you what, you know the only way you know you're a child of God, I can't tell whether you're a child. I can't tell you that. People say, you reckon I'm saved? I don't know. Only God knows that, and you. I've got a pretty good hope. I got a pretty good indication. You know, people that love the gospel and attend the gospel and delight in the gospel, I believe they're children of God. But it comes right down looking into a man's heart. Only God knows that. And that's why we're willing to leave every soul in this building, everybody I preach to, in the hands of God to do with them as it seems good in His sight. Huh? All right. Here's another thing that we've been transformed by and to, is the law of God. Look down here in Romans 5 and verse 20. Oh, our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship to the Father, our relationship to the Holy Spirit, all these have been transformed. We have this wonderful peace with God. We have this blessed justification and cleansing and reconciliation and righteousness and access by our Lord Jesus Christ. But oh my, well, our relationship to the law has been changed. Look what it said here in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, here's why God sent the law. To show us how sinful we are. You know, when you look at the law, I don't know. When we look at the law, we're talking about the moral commandments, the Ten Commandments. Four of them have our relationship with God. Six of them, our relationship with one another. Now, I'm going to say something right here. Does anybody in this building this morning love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body? Well, I don't, because of my flesh. Not my offense, my sin abounds because I don't love Him. And then, the second one. Does any of us in here love our neighbors just like we love ourselves? Well, then you know what? Do you know why the law come? To show us just how sinful we are for not loving God, for not loving our neighbor. Huh? And now, listen. And if we go through every one of them, our offense just boom, 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 boom. It affects. it abounds. You know, when you look at the law, condemned. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty. You name any commandment God had, I'm guilty. I'm not kept one of them. In fact, I broke them 10,000 times 10,000 just in my mind. Huh? And we're under its curse. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things in the law to do them. Huh? And I've told you this before. If you want to start a fight, you just go home and lay down the law. You know, go home and lay down the law to your kids that's 15, 16, 17 years old. See what happens. Well, that's what God does. He lays down the law. And you know what reaction it causes in us? Wrath. I don't want to be under subjection. Yeah, I don't care. I don't want nobody having any authority over me. Huh? And that's what Adam said. That's what Adam said. We don't like someone demanding us to do something. We can ask. We can plead. We can say please. But God don't say any of that when He views us in the law. Huh? Very, very few people can bear someone having authority over them. And that's why the first few years of marriage it's tough. The first two or three, 4 years of marriage is tough. You know why? It's because the man's always wanting the woman to do what he says. And the woman always said, well, if you'd love me a little better, I might be willing to do a little more. And I tell you, people wear these hats. These women wear these bonnets to show that they're under subjection to a man. But I tell you this, you take women out of Arminianism, out of free willism, out of Church of God's and Pentecostalism, and they'll have to close the doors. Now, ain't that the truth?
Amen.
That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. So, very few people can bear someone having authority over them. And when they do, their hatred and their resistance and their struggling and murmuring is proof of their sin. Proof of their sin. But now look over here in Romans 6 and verse 14. I tell you what. Oh boy, it transformed our relationship with the law. You know, and this is hard issues. God didn't say with the, you know, a person can have your body and not have your heart. You know, a wedding ring don't make you married. A license don't make you married. You know what makes you married? Love. Love. And you know what? Beloved, since we don't have that love that God says, here's what He says now. Watch this. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, what in the world is He talking about? Well, sin finds its strength in the law. Sin finds its strength in the law. You lay down the law and sin resists it. You lay down the law and sin says, you know why so many people have divorces? It's because one tries to have more authority over the other one than they should. If there's love involved, there's no divorces. People say, well, I loved him once, but I fell out of love. You never loved him if you fell out of love. But I'm telling you what, when sin finds its strength and somebody said, listen, don't do that. I told you not to do that. It's like that little boy, you know, he said, Jimmy, sit down. Jimmy, sit down. Jimmy, sit down. He finally sat down and said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. Now, that's where sin finds its strength, in the law. Huh? But we're not under law. We're sitting down on the inside, too. We're sitting down on the inside, too. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law. Oh, what are you under then? Under grace. We're not under the law. We're not under the law as a covenant. We're not under the law as a curse. We're not under the law as and it is condemnation. But look what he says. What shall, verse 15, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Oh, listen, we're under the reign of grace. And what does grace do? And like I said, it sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. Oh, listen, it brings life. It brings love. It brings liberty. Shall we go back under the dominion of sin because this grace saves us? This grace causes us to stand? Oh, the reign of love, the reign of life, the reign of liberty we have in Christ. Who would want to go back under that? And that's why he says, grace wherein we stand. Grace changes our relationship to the power of sin. Sin not have dominion over you. And where Christ's blood cleanses us of its guilt, sin's guilt. And where the guilt is gone, there's freedom from the power of it. Huh? When Christ took away your guilt, then he took away the power of sin. Ain't that right? Why did he take away the power of sin? He put it away. And we believe it's put away. Now what are we going to do? We all going to go home and rip and roar and do all kinds of evil things and wicked things because we're under grace? No! He changed our heart. And oh my, sin is manifested in many, many ways. It's deceitful and deceiving. It's hard and hardening. And the blood takes away the guilt. The love of God takes away that hard heart, gives a heart of flesh. Huh? And I tell you something else. We as believers know how deceitful sin is. You know why we know how deceitful it is? Because we know ourselves. And you know one person we don't trust? Is ourselves. All right. Let me look over here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Let me show you something else that's changed that's transformed our relationship. Something else has transformed our relationship. I've got to hurry. Look what it says up here in verse 3. Galatians 1:3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Oh, he transformed our relationship with the world. Huh? We once walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. But now, do you love the world as it is? Do you love the political system? Do you love the economic system, the social system? Do you love the way that people act in the world? No, we don't. We were once in it. We've been chosen out of it. We've been called out of it. We've been redeemed from it. And we're in it, but not of it. Yeah. Huh? I get so sick of hearing the same old, same old, same old. And you know why you folks come here Wednesday nights and Sunday morning, Sunday night? But to get out of the world and get cleansed from the old world that you have to live in. Oh, John Newton said this. He said, you know, going in the world's like walking out into the rain. He said, when you get in the rain, you won't get back out just as quick as you can. He said, that's the way it is going in the world. You're going out there where it's pouring down the rain, and you want to get back in out of the world. Just, and that's what it is. You have to deal with it. But it's not fun, is it? All the things that they say about God, say about Christ. And these politicians, if they open their mouth, they're lying. And if you find a preacher, 9 out of 10 of them or 99 out of 100, if they're opening their mouth, they're lying too. I'm telling you. And then our relationship to good works. It transformed our relationship to good works. Let's go back over to Romans chapter 5. Go back over there. I'll hurry. I really will. I've got a couple things to say, and I'll just skim through them. But it changed our relationships to good works. Look what it says up there in verse 7, Romans 5, 7. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Well, we weren't righteous. Christ, we have His righteousness. And I tell you what, and yet for a good man, some would even dare to die. We weren't good men. We weren't righteous men. We were sinners. Until grace came, now I'm telling you something now, until grace came, we trusted in our good works for salvation. I did myself. I trusted in what I was doing for my acceptance with God. Are you trusting in what you're doing for your acceptance with God? Well, then there's only two ways to be accepted of God. Either by something you do or something God does. No middle ground. It's either of works and it's not of grace, or it's all of grace and not of works.
Amen.
You can't mix them up.
Amen.
It can't be part of grace and part of works. And if you work for God to accept you, then God will have to pay you, and then it ceases to be grace. It's a payday. Ain't that right? And if God pays a man what's due him, you know what will happen? Go ahead and stand up for God and say, listen, I'm here on what I do. You know what the scripture said? Our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. When grace came, it brought a righteousness, and we understood that everything we ever done before Christ saved us amounted to 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, and more zeros. Oh, we even trusted in our good works for our blessings. And preachers, they encourage that. They say, when something bad happens to you, say, well, God's chastising you. You must have sinned. That's what you know. I've been there. I know what they're saying. You know, you have a flat tire somewhere? Well, you must have sinned. That's the first thing they have you think. What did I do that God caused this tire to go flat? Yeah, God. And listen. My wife's in the hospital sick. What in the world have we done that you guys are doing this to us? You know, that's the first preachers want you to think that. Want you to feel guilty. But oh my, when grace came, it showed us our very best was as filthy rags. That man in his best state's altogether vanity. And now, beloved, we understand by grace, not saved because of good works, not saved because anything we do to get a blessing. Well, how the world, and I'm going to tell you something else. If you ever brag about a good work you've done, you've ruined it that quick. That's self-righteousness. The minute you say, boy, I tell you, well, let me tell you something I've done this week. Tell you something I did for God this week. You done ruined it. You know why it works? Goodbye, man can't be any good? Because he's a man. Huh? But oh, listen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Listen to it now. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen to it. Unto good works. Now, wait a minute. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We don't know when we do a good work. We don't have a clue when we do one. But God knows. That's all that matters. All right. And let me hurry. Oh, I got to really, really hurry. Let me give you one more. Two more here real quick. Back here in Romans 5. He said, I tell you what, it transforms our relationship with our trials and our afflictions. Look what it says there in verse 3. We glory in tribulations. Oh my, you mean we rejoice in our troubles when our trials? Well, why do we? But knowing that this tribulations, they work patience. We learn to wait on God. We learn to just keep on keeping on. And in this patience, while we wait, it works experience in our hearts. We've been through this before. You know, I know a preacher friend, he lost two of his children. Two of his children. And you know what? He preached both of the funerals. And he got in the pulpit and just kept on preaching. You say, that'd just be devastating. It was. It was as devastating to him as would be anybody else. But he had been through experiences. He had been through tribulations. And it gave him patience to wait on God. God, this will pass. And his experience gave him a blessed hope that I'll see him again. And God saved him. And God will, and God will take me to glory. And I'll be done with this old world here. Huh? And I tell you what. And back when we was unconverted, we considered them our enemies. Now they're not. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of our present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And oh my, let me show you this one. It transformed our relationship to death. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It changed our relationship to death. Oh my goodness. It changed our relationship to death. Oh, before grace came, death was called the grim reaper. He come in an old, big, old, long, dark cloak and hood over his head and a big old scythe in his hand. He's going to come and mow you down. Dark foreboding. But oh, look what it said here in verse 55. Oh, listen. Now death is a conquered foe. Oh, death, where's thy sting? You know, you get stung by a wasp or something, they leave their sting in you. Now he can just get land on you somewhere else and sting you and it won't hurt. Well, that's the way death was. It had a sting to it. Christ went up there and jerked it out. Now when death comes, it ain't gonna have no sting to it. Look what he says. Oh, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. Well, Christ put sin away by the sacrifice of himself. The strength of sin is the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness then. But thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death now is a conquered foe. You know what he is? He's our friend to usher us into the presence of our blessed, glorious Lord. You know, if you was back in the olden days, if you was going to meet a king, you'd have to be dressed a certain way and wait in an ante room, and then they say, well, the king will be here. Well, we're in the ante room, and we're already dressed to go. And one of these days, we're in the ante room right now. We're outside waiting, and the king's going to holler, come on! And that's all it's going to be, a friend said, I come to take you. I come to take you home. I come to take you in the presence of your blessed Lord. Woo! And then Romans has transformed our relationship to the judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's changed our relationship to everything, ain't it? Ain't it? Our blessed, blessed Master, our gracious Lord Jesus Christ, how blessed and glorious and holy you are. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessed truth. Thank you for the saints of God that so rejoices in it. Lord, we wouldn't know anything if you hadn't brought us grace and hadn't taught us. And we thank you for it. Lord, save your people in this place. Bless us now as we go into this baptismal service. Help us to honor you and glorify you. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. What's that song, Gary, that's Free from the Law, Oh Happy Condition? What's the name of that song? It's 50-55 or something.